We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
All right, Beningo and Roberts in the afternoon. We are back. We are live, of course, in living color here from George M. Steinbrenner Field here in Tampa. We're with the Yankees. We'll be here today and tomorrow. And joining us right now, one of the really great pitchers in the history of the Yankees, number 49, had one of the great seasons any pitcher ever had in 1978. And that, of course, is Ron Guidry. Ron, how are you? Evan?
I'm doing good. Why does everybody just remember that one? I thought I had some other good
but news. But you had – you know why, I bring that one up, Ron? Because that was a historic year.
Yes,
I mean, you were, 25-3. You were unbeatable that year. I mean, you know, that great game, the 18-strikeout game against the Angels and all of that. And what happened with the team, the way you guys came back from, looked like you were dead against the Red Sox all the way back, the one-game playoff in Fenway, which you started, by the way.
Right.
And all of that.
You know, I had a great team to play, pitch with. That's the biggest thing. You can't win games if guys don't make plays behind you. So with the team that I had and it's like the affair that we had together as a pitcher and a team. You know, they knew that it wasn't going to take a lot of runs to win. So they concentrated in scoring a run or two early and in playing defense. And if you shut them down, most of the time the game was over. So it was great to have, the team behind you like that. And to have it in that year, what you just hit on, coming back from so far, going on, winning the World Series, it probably wouldn't have meant as much if we wouldn't have accomplished all of that.
Yeah. Well, it was one of those years where even if they didn't score you a lot of runs, you were still going to win just about every game. Because, your ERA was, 1.7, 1.75 that year? You had to have been as locked in. And you had a great career, and you're right.
Right.
A really good career. But that season is one of those years that as a baseball fan you look at and say, you were the best in the world.
Well, it's funny because this morning I'm in the backfield doing PFP and I see my center fielder Mickey Rivers. He's here today, so he's screaming at me and I'm waving because you remember what he did for you, and it was ironic because if you know anything about Mickey, he was a jokester. He was the guy who kept the team loose. The antics that he pulled on and off the field was just amusing. Okay, so, I would walk in from the bullpen, and, you got that long walk across center field, and you walk over the infield, you get in the dugout, you take your jacket off, you get ready to go out, they play the anthem. Well, in that time between getting in the dugout and taking off the jacket, he'd always sit halfway in the dugout and he'd lean over as I took the jacket off and he'd look at me and he'd ask me, he's a Gator. He says, how many runs you think you're going to need tonight? And it starts off innocent enough.
Right.
But you joke and you say, give me two. So as the leadoff hitter, he'd get a base hit, walk. But by the third pitch, or fourth pitch of the game, he's standing on third base because if he gets on first, he's going to steal. And Willie, who was the next hitter, usually bunt him, no sign,
right,
bunt over. Because what you're doing is nobody's going to cut the run off in the first inning. They're going to give you the run.
Right.
Right? That's how most teams play. But if you get a run early, all of a sudden the other team's going to say, oh, we ain't going to. Not tonight.
Yeah.
And that's what you do, and that's what happened throughout the year. So it just kept progressing. And, you know, I'd come in sometimes and boldly go, like, give me one. I got it. You know, and it, you would do it. Now, right. Look, they would score a run early. Reggie, Nettles, Chambliss, they might pop a two-run homer. So you win 3-1, 3-0, 4-1, 4-0. You know, the game gets out of hand, but it gets out of hand late. But the thing is, if you ask for something at the beginning and you follow through on it and you don't give up anything, which that year it wasn't too much happening,
right.
Besides the game where I just lost. But those games you just lost were good old country butt kickings. You couldn't do anything about those.
Sure.
You know, and you expect those. Generally, you have three or four of those a year as a starter where you just don't have anything. Okay? And I've gone both ways. I've had great stuff and given up six runs. I've had bad stuff and given up six runs. Mm. That's just the nature of the beast.
Tell me about I focus on 78, Ron, because so many things happened that year. I mentioned your unbelievable year, the comeback against the Red Sox. But Billy gets fired that year, too. You know, I think it was July of 78. He gets fired, that whole with the crying, the speech and all of that. And then, of course, Bob Lemon takes over. But how stunned were you guys? Were you shocked to see Billy get fired? How about that aspect?
Not really shocked. No, because I think all of us expected something to happen. We just didn't know when it was going to happen. And you're not really expecting it right before the All-Star break.
Right, right.
Because, you know, we're going to the All-Star game, and you got – all of a sudden you find out you don't have a coach. You know, now the next day we hear Lemon is – you know, so – but now you have to – Billy Martin and Bob Lemon are two different type of managers, okay? Whereas one of them is loud, the other one is quiet.
Right,
okay?
Right, sure.
And at the time when it was made, what we needed was we needed some calmness in the clubhouse. We didn't need any more clashes and battles between players, management, and ownership, because that's what we had a lot of at the time. You guys were there. Nettles coined it great. We were the Bronx Zoo. You know,
no
so
doubt.
Something happened every day. You couldn't wait to pick up a paper to see what happened.
Yeah.
You know, and what we needed was we just needed some kind of calming influence. And when Lemon took over, you know, his speech in Kansas City to open the second half of the year, that year in 78, my toughest job, guys, is going to be to make the lineup. And that's all he said. He put it on the board and that was it. If your name's on, play hard. If your name's not on it, be ready. I mean, who's going to argue with something like that? And he just sat in the dugout, and you very seldom heard anything. So consequently, what happened, it made it easier for guys who knew, I'm playing. Let's get ready. Every day, they'd look up. If you were probably a basic everyday starter, you knew what your job was. But you don't have to worry about somebody looking over your shoulder, condemning the work or not that you haven't or have not done. You know, so and the team started to play, okay? All of a sudden it started to come back. But the biggest thing too is a lot of people forget we had the newspaper strike.
Right, that's right. Yes.
It was great. So that was pressure off of us. Huh. And we had a lot of our players who were injured who made their return.
Right.
So we went from being good to being real good because
sure.
of the players.
We're talking to Ron Guidry. Joe mentioned it before. You start that game, that one game playoff on a Monday afternoon in Boston against the Red Sox. Goes in the books as a regular season game, but winner take all game. What was your mindset going into Boston that day, knowing to top off this incredible story, you got to beat them in this one game?
We had just been there. We had been there 2-3 weeks before in the four game play.
That was the Boston Massacre when you
that
destroyed
them. That was the first one.
Right.
That
right,
was the first
right,
one.
Right.
Okay. And we actually did worse than that when I was a coach here. We beat them five games, which you don't do that in Boston. Okay. But anyway, what we had done those four games had never been accomplished before, maybe in the way it was accomplished. I had never seen a team that was glad to see another team get out of town. And, you know, going there, you know you can beat them. You just beat them. We know we can beat them. I know I can beat them, but I need to keep the score as close as I can. I can't have bad innings. Look, they're a great team. It's the best hitting team I ever had to face. So they can score. But I can't I can't let them score 6-7 runs. I need to hold them down to 2-3 runs at the most. Okay? So I'm pitching. I'm already pitching on one less day, so it's an advantage for them that, I didn't get the proper rest. But who else is going to – it's my turn. I'm either opening the season or if we'd have lost, I'm going home.
Right.
So I need to have as good a game as I can because deep down inside, if Torres pitches a shutout and he beats me 1-0, all I can do is tip my cap. Okay, because my team has to score a run to win. I could pitch 20 innings of shutout ball. Doesn't do me no good if you don't score.
Right.
So, Yastrzemski hit a home run. I gave up another run later on. But you're giving up one here, one there. And it's really not, the home run, boom, okay, it's a solo. Nothing. A leadoff double, a ground ball, fly ball, okay, fine. You're down 2-0. But the most amazing thing about that whole season, after the All-Star break especially, there was always somebody on the team that was a hero. It wasn't the same guy all the time.
Mm.
Hitting, it wasn't always Reggie. It wasn't always Nettles, Chambliss, Munson, Pinella. It was sometimes Willie. It was sometimes Mickey. It was sometimes Bucky. It was the guys who don't get their name in the papers every day. But you always knew somebody was going to do something.
Right.
And it turned out to be Bucky. Bucky hits the home run that he's most famous for.
Sure.
And it's like he hadn't hit a home run in 2 months, and he hits the biggest one he ever hit.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
But okay, but that's who we were, and that's what was happening to us. We went up even after he hit a home run. Rivers single, steals, and another single. We 4-2. Okay, boom, boom.
Right.
And then Reggie hits a home run in the next inning. And, of course, they come back. But that's the way that game was. It was one of the greatest games I think I was ever involved in.
Mm.
If you watched it, you can't tell me that it was exciting. They had great pitching.
Tremendous game.
They had great defense. Neither club.
Yep. And it was an elimination game.
Yeah. Right.
And it's for all the marbles.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
I mean, it's for everything on the line. Both clubs did not give up at any one time.
Right.
They were ahead. We went ahead. They fought back. That's the kind of game it was. I don't remember who said it, but somebody I overheard said after the game, that game was actually hell.
Yeah.
I had never referred to played like, said like that. But it was, and we went on, but all of those things together is what makes the 78 season so special. You go through all the turmoil, you're 14 games behind, you fight back, you play off, you beat Kansas City, you come back from 0-2 and you beat the Dodgers.
Yeah.
See, all of that would have never meant anything if it wouldn't have turned out like that. It's a great Cinderella story, but for me, that season that I had, I would have never even think about it twice if we would not have won everything. It just wouldn't have meant the same.
Right. And you talk about, Bucky, everybody did something, all different guys all year long. It wasn't just Reggie. It wasn't just Nettles, Thurman. The World Series, Brian Doyle. He should have been. Bucky was the MVP. Okay. He should have been the MVP.
Granted, Bucky had, but they should, I still say they should have been co-MVPs. I'm glad Bucky got it. Don't get me wrong. And
right.
Bucky's a great friend of mine.
Right, right.
But it was Brian Doyle's whole baseball career, okay, because – How can you ask a kid that hardly ever plays, who's a backup, to step in for an all-star and do the job that he did? Not only did he make every play, he hit.
Right.
Okay, he had some huge hits. He drove in some runs. He was every bit as much an MVP as, with Bucky. And like I said, Bucky deserved the MVP. But I wish they could have given like maybe a coup. They have done it before. They've done it in the past.
Yeah.
They could have done it again.
We have seen it. We're talking to Ron Guidry. What do you think of the state of pitching today? Back in your day, you'd actually pitch 9 innings. And now, it's like the dinosaur.
Well, look, baseball has changed so much with the advent of the relieving corps and all of the specialized players. Because back then you had, if you couldn't start, you were in the bullpen.
Right.
You just didn't start. And there was one closer, really. In the early 70s, I think, is when the closer first appeared. He wasn't known as the closer, But it was like the guy, like the Fingers and the Sparky Lyles of the world.
Goose.
That you knew was going to come in the ninth inning. They hadn't figured out, okay, when the closer's name. Do you know when the word closer applied? I don't know. I don't remember. All of a sudden, it kind of like just appeared. All I know is that's the guys that you knew were coming in the ninth if the starter faltered, okay? But the starters predominantly were in there until that guy came in.
Sure.
And if you were pitching a good game and you were up by three or four runs, probably they wasn't going to come in. Why come in for that game when the starter's already – all he needs is one or two more outs?
Yeah.
You let him finish and it saves the closer for the next day because he might need – you know, and closers at that time – came in the sixth inning for saves.
Yeah, I know.
Well, then Goose pitched the last three innings of the playoff game against the Red Sox.
Yeah, just about.
Yeah.
So, you know, they would come in and pitch and go 30, 40 pitches, okay? So, but that's just the nature of the game. You know, we were out there knowing that we were going deep into a game. That's what
our
goal
was. Do you think, you know, because the Yankees right now are dealing with Luis Severino needs Tommy John surgery. It seems like guys get hurt all the time. Do you think that if 30 years ago, even more than that, 50 years ago, they were treating you the way starters are treated now, that prolongs one career?
Oh, well, I would think so.
I hope so.
I wouldn't argue that it would not.
Right.
I mean, but – that's not the way the game was played.
But as a competitor, I'm sure you still said, I want to throw 150 pitches and go nine innings.
Look, Goose tell you, I refuse to let him come in some of my games. I don't want him in there.
Get it.
Yeah, you just, especially if you're really pitching well.
Right.
You know, and look, there were games where, you know, by all intents and purposes, probably I should have come out. You know, because you're winning 6-0 going into the, why?
Right, may as well save you.
You know,
then.
Why would you? But you're going okay, look, I understand that you'd want to, but I have a chance that you can save the relievers.
Right.
Okay? What's the difference if I throw 15 more pitches? I'm not going to be any more sore the next couple of days. It's not really going to affect me at all. So why don't you just let me? Unless I start giving up 6 home runs in a row to tie the score.
Right,
you got to
come,
you know. But that's not going to happen often. But, you know, that's the way that the game is today. You, there's so many, you know, you got the closer, then you got the setup guy, and then you got the setup to the setup.
I know, you got like six setup guys.
And then you got the long man and the short man.
Yeah.
So, you know, you have so many of these guys, and they're good at what they do. And you can see how the game's played today. A lot of teams that just look at, if I can get into the fifth or sixth inning with the lead, the game's over.
We saw the Yankees do it last year.
Okay, so, you know, and it's working. It's not like it's not working.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of truth to it. It's just it's the way the game is played today.
Talking to the great Ron Guidry, Beningo and Roberts. We're live here at spring training at George Steinbrenner Field here in Tampa with the Yankees. Tell me about your thoughts when you heard about Thurman in 79 and what happened there. Where were you? The whole situation.
Well, we were home. It was an off day.
Right. Monday. Yep. Yep.
And it was kind of a gloomy day. It was overcast. It had rained early in the morning. And it's around noontime, maybe a little afternoon, we were sitting down. And I very seldom answer the phone, you know, like at that time.
Right, right.
And the phone rings, and I don't know where my wife Bonnie was. She was in the house doing something. But I said, I'll get it. I got up. I went into it. And, you know, I picked up the phone. Hello. And all of a sudden, Mr. Steinberg come on. Gator, this is Mr. Steinberg. I said, oh, Mr. Steinberg. Well, right away.
Something's up.
He don't call.
Right.
Okay. So, and he just came out and said, I'm calling a few guys just to let you know that, you know, Thurman was in an accident. So he said, you know, we're going to meet at the ballpark at about 4 o'clock. So he says, take your time, just make your way to the park. And that's all he said, and he hung up. So, you know, I mean, of course, I tell that to my wife, and, you know, of course, she starts crying. Now I'm crying because she's crying. So eventually we get to the park, and, you know, we have a meeting, and he's explaining to us what exactly is going to happen in the next couple of days. We're going to be flying to Canton, you know, to the services in a, I think the day after. So, you know, we did all of that, and it's you know, when you're going through it, you just don't believe it, you know. And it was hard enough to accept the phone call for me. But the day of the services when we flew back to pitch the game that night was worse.
Yeah.
Because, you know, most of the time him and I made that long walk from the bullpen back to the dugout, and he wasn't there. And then, you know, the game gets ready to start, and when the when you after the national anthem and you turn around, they had placed the two umpires abreast of each other in each batter's box, and they had left home plate empty because the backup catcher, who was Brad Golden, they had him in the dugout. And after they paid a small tribute, he came out, but he wasn't there, you know. And when you turn around and you realize he's never going to be there again, that's a hard pill to swallow.
Yeah.
Because it's the only game where actually I was going through the innings without the usual fireness in me to win and produce. Because you're thinking about what's happening, and you're thinking there are probably more things important in life than this game now. You know, you there's so many things going through your head. And before I know it, I was down 4-0 in the game. And it just so happens, like usually happens with us, because that's what makes the story so great. Bobby Mercer, who gave the eulogy that day, he comes up, you know, he hits a 3-run homer. The score is 4-3 now. And all of a sudden you go like, hey, idiot, you actually have a chance to win this game here.
Yeah.
You got to start. So, like, after about the fifth inning is when it really dawned on me that I need to. And I did. I started pitching again. And then, you know, I come back. You know, I throw 9 innings. I come back. I'm sitting on the bench. And all of a sudden, you know, we got action. We got runners on. And all of a sudden, he hits a 2-run double. Game's over. We win 5-4.
Yeah.
But, you know, for him – you know, I win the game. I get credited for the win. We win. But for Mercer, it was an extra reward.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Because of the day he had to go through.
Yeah.
I don't – and he gave a beautiful eulogy. He stayed composed. And you would think that he would break down. I would have broke down.
Yeah.
But he did great. And for him to have the night that he had, again – it was what fairy tales are made of.
Yeah, it really is.
You know, I mean,
like a script almost.
That you couldn't have written a better script.
Amazing.
So that was great.
We're talking.
But it was hard.
Yeah, no question.
No doubt.
We're talking to Ron Guidry. What do you think coming back here to spring training and working with some of the guys? Is that something you still love to do every February and March?
I still love doing it, but it's getting harder and harder. Today I had to field ground balls, and I'm going like, oh, that didn't feel too good. Oh, man. But it's still fun. I mean, you know, it's still fun.
If you went on the mound, could you hit 75 on the gun, you think? Could you strike me and Joe out?
Not.
Oh, you can strike me out. I can't even forget about
there's
that.
There's no way that you can go like right
he could,
now.
He could hit 40 on the gun and strike me
what
out.
What you'd have to do is you'd have to go and throw for a while to really kind of – because you don't – I don't do it anymore.
Right.
I mean, I got a ball in my hand, but if I tossed it to this young lady, I'd have to take 2 weeks off. You know,
I understand.
You don't use it anymore, so your muscles are almost atrophied, you know.
Right.
So if I go out and I'd have like – if I'd go out and throw 10 minutes every day, by the end of the spring, probably so I could hit 75. Okay, probably even drop a couple of nasty slides.
I would love to face that.
But
strike me out.
If I had to throw a ball across this wall, I mean this hallway right here.
It'd be a problem.
Yeah.
I understand.
I'd have to go see Dr. Andrews again.
We don't want that. We don't want that.
It's not that easy.
How about the Hall of Fame for you? And Thurman, for that matter. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, and I say this all the time, Ryan, and obviously I've seen the Yankees since Roger Maris and Mickey in 61, okay? To me, Thurman Munson at that time, outside of Johnny Bench, because Johnny Bench was probably the greatest catcher of all time, but I always say this, he was better than Fisk. He was better than Carlton. Carlton Fisk in the Hall of Fame. Right. Thurman was better. Money hitter, great clutch hitter. Or he wasn't a home run hitter, but great clutch hitter. Forget about it. Had that great World Series that you guys lost to the Reds in 76. Yeah. He was unbelievable that year. How about that? And you too.
Thinking, well, I don't think about me, but I think about him. If you know, if he'd have been able to finish a career,
right? Okay, right.
There's no doubt in my mind that if he would have not have gotten into it as a player, he'd have gotten into it as a manager.
Oh, okay.
He'd have been a manager.
You think so?
Yes,
okay.
I think so. Very astute about the game. He should be in there as a player.
Tremendous player.
Okay. And if given the opportunity, I think he could accomplish what it would take to get into the Hall of Fame.
But what about you? I mean, you won 20 at least three times, I think, that I can remember. You had that historic season. You won a couple championships. You won a Cy Young Award. I think you should have won the MVP that year. They gave it to Jim Rice in 78, right? Didn't Rice get the MVP?
Yeah.
You should have won it. You should have won that, too. There was no doubt in my mind about that. Now, you were a tremendous, tremendous pitcher. Do you think about that at all?
No. My dream was just to pitch there. Okay. That one day, it would have been enough. Okay. 1 month was great. 1 year turned into euphoric. And then you go on and you did, you know, some of those things that I did. I never thought that I'd do that. Hall of Fame, it's great. But I think you need to do it a little bit more maybe than what I did. But when I had the opportunity, as I kept growing older, what I said earlier was still true. I still feel that way. That there were more important things that I look forward to than the game. So if I'd have stayed and played more years, maybe things might have been different. But I chose not to, because at the time that I made the decision, my kids were growing up, and I didn't want to miss any more time from their life.
Right.
Because I'd never be able to pick that up again. And, you know, the way that we were raised down south, I'm not saying we raised better than other people, but it's a special way of life. And families are close, and families are more important than anything else. So for me, you know, man, what do I regret? No, look, I was as good as they had. I was as good as anybody that was there at the time that I was doing the job.
Mm.
Well, okay, that's enough for me. Mm. I mean, I don't need to be in a particular place to signify that I was good.
Well, how about –
I thought I was good.
I was always taught that your 18-strikeout game is what created the two-strike clock.
Oh, yeah, I started
which is,
that.
You started it, yeah. And that's everywhere.
I
You'll hear it today at a spring training
yeah,
game.
I started.
I mean, that's pretty good.
Yeah. Well, that's a standing joke here because – now, these kids over here might not – because they're all
right.
young. But, you know, for a lot of years, you always have somebody who knows, okay? And, like, when it starts to happen here and people's kids start looking around, somebody always says, who started that anyway? But they know I'm sitting right there.
Right,
you know, and I got to raise my hand. Yeah, because I started
Did
that.
You know at the time what it would lead to? Because you hear that in every ballpark.
No,
now.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I mean, I heard it at the stadium. You know, because it just it's something, you know, that just happened because Rizzuto kind of made it, you know, him and Bill White.
Right.
They were commentating and Rizzuto kept, you know, screaming, holy cow. And, you know, he tagged the Louisiana Lightning moniker on me. That's because the people from Connecticut, they had all every game that I pitched, they'd come from Connecticut. And they had made a big poster of the state of Louisiana with a lightning bolt through.
Right.
And they had on there Louisiana, and at the bottom it was lightning. And somewhere during the game, I don't remember where, but Rizzuto said, you know, quote, Louisiana Lightning. He put that on me. Now, everybody thinks that's my nickname, but it's not. But it's, you know, it was fun. You know, people start, and I'm going like, that must be hard on the hitters. You know? I mean,
yeah, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Start hearing that.
Because you know what they, you know, when it comes. And, you know, I don't know if you've ever read the story that I keep saying about that. Is I didn't know how many strikeouts I had in the game at all until the seventh inning.
Mm.
Thurman and I were probably the two most surprised guys in the stadium because they posted on the board that I had tied Whitey's record at 15. After the seventh inning. And him and I both looked at each other like, what? And he looked at me and he says, you have 15? And I said, I have 15? And the first thing he said was, you know, the major league record is 19. Nolan has it. He's sitting in the other dugout.
Right.
And the eighth and ninth innings were really you know, the 2 innings that I had left. And he said, you know, when he said we're going to go for it, and I told him, I said, whoa, whoa, whoa. I said, we need to have this game more than I need to worry about strikeouts, okay?
Right.
Because this is June. We're still like
right,
this, okay?
Right.
We're
yeah,
still
right,
in
right,
turmoil.
Right, right.
We're, you know, I need to win this game.
Right.
I don't need to worry about strikeouts. So you need to call the game so we can win it. And this is what he told me. He said, okay, he said, I'll tell you what, I'll give you the eighth inning, okay? But he said, in the ninth inning, you're going for it, or so help me, I'm going to break your left shoulder. That's exactly what he told me.
That's great.
Now, one of the most interesting things is Diane, his wife. She has told me many times about that night when he got home. He didn't sleep at all. Because most of the time he knew exactly what was going on. He did not know
wow.
I had that many.
That's
incredible.
And what he told her was I cost him the record because I could have called pitches to try to strike guys out, but I didn't. I called pitches to get guys
to
out.
To get guys out, yeah.
And the ninth inning is the only time in that game that I actually went out
trying
with
to
the
strike
mindset
them out.
Of trying to wow. strike out the guys. That's it. That's the honest to God
incredible.
Truth.
Incredible. Yeah. We really appreciate
Ron,
you coming on,
could
Ron.
Do the whole show
much.
Here with you, man.
Seriously. Oh, good.
Appreciate it.
Nice
thank
talking
you,
to you.
Pleasure's
anytime
all mine.
I can help you.
The great Ron Guidry, Gator was really the nickname. I mean, yeah, that was the Louisiana Lightning, Gator, number 49, one of the great Yankees of all time. Ron, we really appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
All right.
Thank you.
All right, Beningo and Roberts, we are live here from George Steinbrenner Field, Yankee spring training, and we got lots more to do, and we'll be coming back with more surprises.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.